star of Bethlehem. Shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us the light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed. Yonder in glory when the crown is won, for Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us the light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
How many can say that light has shone on you? How many, you have that light inside of you? Amen. That light is on the inside. And it gets brighter and brighter. He's going to lead us all the way. Just as those wise men were walking. Nobody else saw that light. But it was unto those people that was called for that light to shine. Thank God for the light shines in our lives. It's not for the whole world, but it means the whole world to me. And I just want him to shine greater and greater in my life. Amen. Let's all stand now. I want to sing about this song. I love this song. First time I ever heard the song was Brother Dick sang it. And I love it. We're camping in Canaan's land. Amen. Now y'all stand, you can clap your hands. You can smile. Every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan, in the land of the overcomer. And I'm enjoying the beauty and all these things. It says, I've left the land of bondage. If you ever been in bondage and you get free, then you know what you're free from. You know when you have an addiction or something like that and you get free of that, you know what it's like to be free from that. You're not bound by that anymore. Amen. Walk in the glorious liberty of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I have left the land of bondage with its earthly treasures. I've journeyed to a place where there is love on every hand. I've exchanged a land of heartaches for a land of pleasures. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Sure, I survey its wondrous beauty grand. Glory, hallelujah, I found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Out of Egypt I have traveled through the darkness dreary, far over hills and valleys and across the desert sands. But I've landed safe at home where I shall not grow. with rapture I survey its wondrous beauty grand. Glory, hallelujah, I found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Yes, I've reached that land of promise with its scenes of glory. My journey ended in a place so lovely and so grand. I've been led by Jesus to this blessed land of story. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Yes, every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan. And with rapture I survey its wondrous beauty grand. Glory, hallelujah, I found the land of promise. Sands. But I've landed safe at home where I shall not grow weary. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Yes, every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan. And with rapture I survey its wondrous beauty grand. Glory, hallelujah, I've found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Yes, every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan. And with rapture I survey its wondrous beauty grand. Glory, hallelujah, I found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land.
Made it there, there's an invitation made. You can enter that promised land also. It's to whosoever will. I may just run around the building for a bit. I tell you what, it's real. You know, you just want to open up, pour it out, give it to people. Well, if you ever got some of this, it'd change your life. You wouldn't want anything else. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, how many's ready for the word tonight? Amen. You know, we just prepare our hearts to hear from Him tonight. We just want to make ourselves open and welcome Him in. Lord, come speak to me. Give me what I have need of tonight. Amen. I want to hear from Your word. Word of God ever true. I want it to change me. Amen. As Brother Luis comes this evening, let's sing.
Words long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of life, words of hope. World where'er we roam, the word of God will guide us home. Word of God ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with God in faith, handed down
Desired that this morning or tonight. The day has gone so quickly. I feel like it's still morning. My body doesn't feel like it though. But it's all right. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. How many are happy to be in the house of God? Amen. God given us another opportunity to gather together and to see one another and to hear the word of God. Let's just go ahead and go to the word, and then We'll read a verse here, and then I'll have you be seated. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 4. Amen. Zechariah chapter 4. Very familiar scripture to us. And we'll start at verse 5. Verse 6, actually. You have it, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, amen, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, yes, saith the Lord of hosts." Amen. Aren't you glad that it's the Holy Spirit that makes the difference? Amen. Amen. And it's not man handled, but it's God handled. Amen. Amen. "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone." This is our message for today, amen. Amen. "Thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." Amen. Amen. Why? Because it's grace, grace that it is given unto us. Amen. So we cry back. Amen. It's word, amen. Word calling on, it's word on top of word, amen. Amen. So it's word brings attracts word. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity that you've given us to read your word, Father God, and to just open back the pages of your word, Father. We realize that, Lord, we are insufficient within ourselves. And Lord, no matter how many times we get behind the sacred desk, Father God, we still get nervous, Father. But Lord Jesus, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just, Lord, take full control and you would just have your way, Lord God Almighty. Because, Lord, I know that I am not speaking, Lord, to just not any class of people, Lord. Yes. I'm speaking to your body, yes, the bride of Jesus Christ. Yes. But I believe, Father God, that this is the little portion that you have given us here on this side of the world, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just use my lips, Father God, to say something to them that would help them, Lord God. And we just commit the rest of this time into your hands. Meet our needs. Meet the needs here amongst us, Lord. You know all the requests. And Father God, may you just forgive us also for our sins. Cleanse us, Lord Jesus, in the areas that we've failed you, Lord God. Help us, Father God. Place it all under the blood so that we can enjoy you, Lord, this evening. We pray. We ask now and we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may have your seats this evening. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's good to be back from our trip. And everyone up there in Ohio, they send their greetings. And we had a good time. Amen. Amen. Lots of fellowship and lots of food. You know how some of you that have been up there, you know those people can cook. And so we had Thanksgiving meal on Thursday before leaving, then Thanksgiving meal when we got there on Friday, and Thanksgiving meal on Sunday again. So three Thanksgivings. First time that's ever happened to me. three Thanksgiving meals in one in one, you know, really short time. So, but they all send their greetings, and we had a good time with them on Sunday, speaking the word to them, brought them a message of grace to them, and I believe it was timely for them. So, they all are looking forward to seeing you all here in a couple of months, Lord willing. And when we got there, it was snowing, so it snowed while we were there a little more. But then the real snow came in right after we left. We had just barely missed it, and I think Sister Jessica sent my wife a picture, and it had snowed. I don't know how much, but it looked like it was about at least over 6 inches of snow, eight inches maybe. And so so they're getting it. They're getting their winter really, really, really early. So, and so are we down here. It'd be nice to be able to see some snow down this way. So, but my wife says no. She could care less about it. Because we're heading towards the snow here in a couple of weeks up to Toronto, Canada. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, saints. Amen. Brother Aaron, I appreciate you singing that song this evening because you didn't know what I was going to preach about. But I was going to touch on that topic. What I want to talk about this evening is I titled it When Grace Rolls Away the Shame. Amen. And I've just been reading the book of Joshua lately, and of course, Brother Branham, you know, he typed it as the book of Joshua types the book of Ephesians, you see. And so if Brother Branham says the following, he says this in the message, the God who is rich in mercy, he says, "Now, if many of you like to just mark down scriptures that a minister reads, and I would like for you to tonight, if you would, to turn to Ephesians." And I was speaking last Sunday on the Ephesians, how that the book of Joshua was the Ephesians of the Old Testament, and how it was a book of redemption, right? And redemption has two different parts, a coming out of and an entering into, right? First, you have to come out, right? Because you cannot enter into if you don't come out of what you already have, okay? Trying to make sure I'll go slow as well for the brother in there. And I appreciate Brother Manuel taking filling in for me. Some people wants to bring the world in with them. But you got to come out of the world to enter into Christ. Amen. You have to come out of unbelief to enter into faith. There cannot be one thing in your way to really have genuine faith. Brother Branham continues saying, you must absolutely leave everything that's contrary to the word of God behind to enter into faith. And then he continues saying here, and that was the book of the Ephesians of the Old Testament, Joshua, where Moses represented the law, could not save no one. I want you to keep that in mind as we speak on the topic tonight. But grace could. Amen. Amen. But there within the law, there was an element of grace, even within the law. But it could not bring the fullness of grace like it can after the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And here's Joshua is the same word like Jesus, which means Jehovah's Savior. And now then we found out that we have come to another Ephesians, another Ephesus now, where that in our intellectual denominations and so forth and all of our educational programs has come to its Jordan. Then we must have an Ephesians again, Brother Branham says. We must have an Exodus to come out and go into for the rapture. Amen. So when we're reading the book of Joshua, you know, we look at the book of Joshua and we always look at it as a book of conquest and a book of victory and things like that, and which it is. It definitely is. But as I was speaking to the group there in Ohio, if you look at the first five chapters, especially the first five chapters of the book of Joshua, you see an abundance of grace that is being applied to the people of Israel in those first five chapters. Because you have to think about this. That children, the children of Israel, this is the second generation that's getting ready to cross the Jordan River. The first generation that came out of Egypt, they were circumcised. They had they were the people of God who kept the commandment and were circumcised. They had the mark on them, you see? But they came out on a journey, and they came out already being led by a prophet. And yet, during the time of the wilderness journey to get to the promised land, oh my, they were very excited, very happy. And it's just like the believer today, you know, the new believers that come in, or maybe the Pentecostals, amen, at one point in time, they were excited, very happy, coming in, speaking, shouting, tongues, and all that stuff. You see, those first ones that came in, the ones that came out of Egypt, they came out circumcised, but they were circumcised as babies. Pentecostal babies. They came out, you know, with the that's why, and God just winked at the ignorance. And that's why they majored on tongues, and they majored on signs and things as such. Which is what some people today are wanting to bring us back to. If you're not careful, they are trying to lead us back to that original circumcision. And remember that the children of Israel, when they crossed into the promised land, they had to be circumcised again. But that circumcision was a different circumcision. And it wasn't a group circumcision. This was an individual circumcision. All right, we're going to read about it here in just a moment. So I want us to think about it on the basis of grace, because when you are wanting to go back to the way things were, the way things were was law. Right? It was let us go back to the law, because that's easier to go back to that. But that's a trick of the devil. Because we want, like I've always said, and I can't get away from this topic because this thing keeps piling up on me, but revelation is hard. Yes. It's not an easy thing. It's a difficult thing for you to get in one-on-one with God to obtain revelation. Right. But when it's a group idea, or when it's a group thing, or we're just following a personality, that's easy. Everybody else is doing it, so I'll just do it too. That's why the children of Israel out of Egypt, of course they were travailing, they were crying, you know, for a deliverer, for God to fulfill the promise that he promised that he was going to deliver. And he delivered them with a mighty hand, didn't he? Right? But now, as they journeyed for 40 years, they were journeying through the wilderness. And those children that were born from the original, to the second generation message believers. Now we're coming into the third generation message believers. Right? Well, they better get into, amen, into that second circumcision. Otherwise, we're not going to make it. But I believe we have people here that are making it. Right? Those second generation message believers, they had to come in the exact same way that their parents came in. Amen. But now it was a deeper walk, because Joshua was leading them now. Right? It wasn't just a prophet now. It was the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was a personal thing. Oh, my. Moses didn't circumcise the children of Israel. They were already circumcised. All right? All right, we'll look at that here in just a moment. But if you let's go to Joshua chapter 5, and you want to read here with me. We'll just kind of go through this, and let's see how the Lord leads. Amen. But right before Joshua chapter 5, we see that the children of Israel, we see the grace that God showed to and in Joshua chapter 2, the grace that God showed even to Rahab, right? A woman that had not even been with the children of Israel or Moses and crossed the Red Sea, but she said to the two spies, she said that I have heard, we've heard that God opened up the sea for you and that you crossed it on dry ground and we were afraid and we feared. A woman that was a Gentile that did not believe God, but only all she did was hear about God. And that drew her, amen, closer to God. That was the heart, that was the grace that God was showed to Rahab. And we know the story of how the children of Israel go in chapter 6 in the same book, and Joshua himself goes in and rescues Rahab, sends the two spies over there too, and say, go get Rahab, right? What a grace of God in this hour, amen? That it doesn't matter your background. Your background doesn't matter to God. It's what you believe now. Amen. It's your belief. Amen. It's your heart that God is looking at. Praise the Lord. God's not looking at what you did back then or what you did 30, 40, 50 years ago. Amen. God is looking at what your desire is now. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if anybody would try to put that on you, amen, try to put that shame back on you, amen, you just take it back to chapter 5 where God shows them complete grace, amen. Amen. The grace of God is much greater than that. Amen. Much greater than your shame. Much greater than anything that you have done when you were out there in the world, amen. The grace of God. If God cannot cover anything in your life that you have done, then what kind of God are we serving? What kind of God are we serving that he can't cover anything, any sin, amen, that we have committed, especially when we did it ignorantly. Paul said, amen, that the things that he was locking Christians up and he was killing Christians left and right ignorantly. And God winked at it. What the grace of God. Oh, but that's God's people that he was touching. Yes, but then yet he became a pastor, a messenger to the church age, a great man of God, that even the messenger of our age identified with the great apostle Paul. Amen. And it didn't matter the life that he had lived before. It still it didn't stop him from preaching the gospel. He still was the messenger for the age. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So then we find here in Joshua that after Joshua chapter 2, then we were speaking last time about Joshua chapter 3 and how the children of Israel, they were crossing into the promised land, right? Now, just think about this for a moment, saints, that the children of Israel, these children of Israel, this second generation, were crossing into the promised land, fulfilling the commission that God had given to Moses, that God had given originally to Abraham, then to them came down to Moses, and then Joshua had the commission. Now, these second generation of children of Israel were going to fulfill this promise, and yet they had not fulfilled within themselves everything that was required to be identified as God's people. Why? Because they were not circumcised. And what is circumcision? Circumcision is the cutting away of the flesh, or the cutting away of the old life, so to speak. Amen. But yet, the grace of God was able to cover that. Oh my, think about that. Because God is more concerned about fulfilling his word. Amen. God is more concerned. He said, I will give you that land. Yes. And that land was not going to be, it was not going to be taken by the ones who had died in the wilderness, who were circumcised, who had everything ready to go. You know, they had it all. They had the Holy Ghost. They had everything that you couldn't put a hand on them, but their unbelief and wanting to go back to Egypt and wanting and living and wanting things easy. Because they had everything provided for them. I mean, you think about it in a journey like that where God was, you know, you go to Walmart today and you grocery shop, you ain't coming out of there for less than $200. I mean, even with $200, I mean, you hardly have anything in your buggy. I remember when back in the 80s when we came to the States and we were grocery shopping. My dad and my mom, they had that buggy full. I mean, it was all kinds of cereal boxes and all kinds of meat and all kinds of things. And it wasn't a Walmart brand either. And it was like Lucky Charms and Kellogg's and Post and the good ones, right? The ones that taste, you know, they don't taste fake, even though it's all fake. But I mean, it was the good stuff. And I remember I was there, I was 7 years old, and I looked at the cat, and it makes you feel good as a kid. Wow, my mom and dad are buying. Wow, you know. And they paid, I feel this was 90 something bucks, and the cart was full. I mean, we had groceries probably for like the next 3 weeks, maybe a month, you know. But now, 90 something bucks, you're only coming out of there with a box of crackers and maybe a loaf of bread. Maybe some peanut butter and jelly, maybe. And a thing of coffee, because eight coffee cups for your Keurig at 95 bucks, right? But you see, the people of the children of Israel, they had everything provided for them. They weren't concerned about the $100, $200 or anything like that. The Bible says that even their shoes did not waste. Their clothes still stayed the same. Amen. My goodness, that's amazing. I wish I had clothes like that. But amen. But with God, amen, all things are possible. So God was taking care of them, and they were used to the easy living, where God was providing quail for them, and God was providing the blessings would easily fall on them, and then would come down, and all they had to do was believe God sent a prophet. That's all they had to believe. That's all they had to follow was what Moses gave them, and they just believed it. And it was easy. Oh, the blessings of the Lord came down very easily. But now, you know, we see that generation was dying out, right? And if you type it with this generation now, the old fighters, as Brother Branham called it, they're dying out now. And here's rising up the second generation that does not know anything about Egypt. But yet we as parents and yet we as pastors and us, we expect them to come in the same way we came in. And they don't know anything about Egypt. And then you wonder why you're scratching their heads and like, why can't they see it? Well, I don't understand why my kid can't see it the way I see it. It's because you experience things that they haven't. They were born in this message. You weren't. You went out and kissed girls and kissed guys and did things and drank alcohol. And the majority of these kids don't know anything about that. But you wonder why in the world they don't believe. And so you see, you can't put those burdens on top of them that way, expecting for them to come out the same way you came, right? It's a whole different time, saints. But it's the same word. Amen? And so God, amen, wants us, amen, to use wisdom in the way we deal with our children in the hour that we're living in. Amen? You have to use wisdom. You can't use the old tactics of old, amen, and say they're going to come out exactly the way I want them to come out. It's not going to work. Believe me, it's not. It just won't. Your toughness and your, amen, it'll keep them obeying for a little while. But as soon as they get that driver's license, they're gone. But don't be saddened and don't be hopeless. You planted a word in there. Amen. You did what you were supposed to do. And then let the Lord take care of the rest. Right? So we see that the children of Israel, the second generation now, they're coming in and they're walking in chapter 3, they're coming in. And they crossing into the promised land. They were obeying. They had nothing else to do but to obey Joshua, who was the command, who was the one commanding in charge. And they say in chapter 1, they said, everything that you tell us, Joshua, we will obey. We will obey. You see, a people that were not circumcised, I want you to think about that. They were not circumcised, but yet they had that desire to obey. Amen? Think about the people that have the desire to serve the Lord. Right? Maybe they have not been circumcised yet. Maybe they're not doing everything exactly the way you think they should do it. But if the desire is there, amen, just be salty. Be soft. Be salty. Amen? All right. So then they cross over into the promised land. But the true battle happens after they cross over. Amen? In chapter 4, God tells them to make a memorial of 12 stones and memorialize that grace that they have just received. Amen? To memorialize that God did for them, because they didn't deserve it. Right? They were not circumcised. They were technically not people part of the covenant. Did you ever think about that? That this second generation of the children of Israel were not technically, according to the law of Moses, were not part of the covenant, but the grace of God.
Amen.
Oh my, hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, so now we come here to chapter 5. And if we just turn there, amen. And it says here in Joshua chapter 5, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. All right? They got scared. All right? These kings probably heard that the children of Israel, they had crossed the Red Sea in the exact same way, and now they were crossing the Jordan the exact same way. That means they're inching closer and closer. Which, if they're inching closer and closer, that means their God is inching closer and closer too. Right? And it says, before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. Amen. So I want you to think about this, because in the next several verses, what's getting ready to happen, the children of Israel needed time to do what they're getting ready to do. They could not get circumcised, have the Passover, and the things that they're getting ready to take place if they're fighting. So you notice the grace of God upon their life right here, even causing those kings to be afraid of them, which stopped them in their tracks, because those kings could have come over there to them and started war with them. Hey, they're getting closer. And really, in a tactical sense, if you see them coming from far off, or even if you hear about them coming from far off, you go see what you know. You go meet them closer to a battlefield instead of them getting closer to my home, right? So that, what the grace of God upon these people, amen. Upon the children of Israel here, in order to stop the enemies around them. Hey, amen. I want you to realize, saints, that the things that God has done, amen, to get to where you are at now, what has God stopped in your life? What kind of accidents did God free you from? What kind of enemies, amen, health enemies or issues or situations that God, amen, prevented for you to be able to get and walk through with God, amen, and in the hour that you're living in, amen? Oh my, there's God's done great things, and that's why when we sing that song, think about the blessings of the Lord, of what God has done, showers of blessings, amen. And those things, amen. We have many things to give Him thanks for. Amen. We have so many things to give Him thanks for. So God put in that grace and gave that grace there when even you didn't deserve it. But God knows the way that He has planned for you. Yeah. He knows exactly what He has. Amen. And He's going to make sure that you get there. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now in verse 2 it says, and at that time. Notice how the scripture puts it. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, verse 3, and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. Amen. Now I want you to notice that it's Joshua doing the circumcision right here. All right? And it's not they themselves doing it. Right? And it's not their mama and daddy that did it. Because when mama and daddy did it, it was on the eighth day when the boy was just 8 days old, right? These men, they were grown men. Right? They had come to something now. They had seen some things. Amen. They had just passed Jordan, which is a type of a death. Amen. Of a justification. Right? And now they're coming, amen, to a point where they need to have an own experience with a Joshua in their life, right? Amen. With the Holy Spirit. Yes. Amen, because it's the Holy Spirit that circumcises you. Amen. Right. Amen. Spiritual circumcision. Amen. 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 To cut off excess flesh, yes. Right? I want you to realize and think that the people that are crossing over, they're crossing over, and this is not, oh, we're crossing over and everything, it'll be just fine right after that. No. This right here types the life of the believer. Yes, Canaan types the life of the believer. Amen. And it's after them crossing over, amen, and it's after them fulfilling these things that we're getting ready to read is when the wars start, yes, right? Amen. It's when the battles really start. It's when the issues really come up, yes, right? And you wonder the things that you might be going through or the things that are happening in your life. I wonder if you are doing something right. Because that's when the battles really start. Right? Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. But no matter how long you've been a Christian, amen, there's still battles. There's still territory to continue taking over. But God has already given it to you. Amen. God has already given to you the land. Amen. So he tells them to, at verse 2, to make sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Amen. The second time meaning that they did not get circumcised when they left Egypt. But now it's time to circumcise them because God won't get away from his word. He wasn't just going to let the second generation of message believers get by without an experience with God. Amen. Right? You're not going to get by, amen. The way your mom and dad received it, that's how you got to receive it. Amen. If they got the new birth, then you've got to have the new birth. Praise the Lord. It might be different experiences, but it's the new birth anyhow. Amen. It's a change, amen, that's got to take place. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause. Now, in verse 4, he tells them the reason why he does this. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. The Bible says that they died because of their unbelief. Amen. Right? And they died. And whether it was neglect, or whether it was that the parents just didn't instruct their children of what to do, or they just didn't care. These second generation of believers or message believers did not get circumcised. When God was going to make sure, if I'm going to have a people, if I'm going to have a bride in this hour, amen, I'm going to make sure that they are filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. And so in verse 4, he says, and this is the cause, so we just read that, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now, verse 5, now all the people that came out were circumcised, came out of Egypt. But all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years. Think about that. 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, Amen. Unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that flowed with milk and honey. Amen. The children of Israel, amen, they were consumed completely by their unbelief. Amen. And verse 7, and their children, whom he raised up in their stead, damned Joshua, circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. Amen. All right. Now, verse 8, and it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And I want you to think about that statement, because remember, God stopped their enemies in verse 1. All right? God knew that they were needing time to heal. Right? And look how the scripture says it there, that they had done circumcision. All the people had, they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. Amen. I want to read this here with just a moment, because I remember a couple of weeks ago where I was speaking about, with regards to Brother Branham, talking about the third pull. Amen. Right. And Brother Branham says this in 1956. Because remember, in 1906, it was 1906, Azusa Street. All right, now it's 1956 when he says this right here. 50 years. 1956. All right. And he says, and then when it did, this one that was standing by me, behind me, the same voice. He's speaking about the vision that God was showing him about that little room, right? The angel's voice, the angel's voice. It wasn't just an angel's voice. It was the angel's voice. He said, I'll meet you in there. This is exactly what has happened with the children of Israel now, with their circumcision. They have to stay in their place. Is resting in God, resting in the promise, amen, amen, that God is going to continue fulfilling everything until they come out whole. Amen. He said, I'll meet you in there, and this is the third pull, but nobody will know nothing about it. Amen. Nobody. It's a secret thing. You think anybody else was going to go in there with those men? Amen. It was a secret thing. Right? And it's got to be a secret thing. And to say it wasn't a group circumcision now, just like the first children of Israel. Now this is something secret. And this is why God is calling us in this hour, amen, to a secret thing between him and between the mighty angel and you. Amen? Praise God. Because the reason why I say this, saints, is because many people are coming to a point where they shouting and speaking in tongues, and we just got to get back to all of that, and all that has its place. But it's Pentecostal babies that desire those things, right? What a true mature Christian desires is intimacy, and intimacy can only come one on one, right? Right, when Joshua was there circumcising each one of those males, it was one by one. Right? Because he's only one person. Right? So then it's a one-on-one thing, and it's not a group thing. Amen? So anybody that's trying to tell you to go back to Pentecost, let's come back to the sawdust trail and all that, that's all good and fine. Amen. But that is not what God is calling us in this hour. Amen. God, the open book, amen, Revelation 10, is a private thing between the mighty angel and Christ and you, right? Because even Brother Branham had to leave the scene there in Revelation chapter 10, right? He was only there for one verse, and even he had to leave. And leave that book, was in the mighty angel's hand, right? And it was a thing between you and Christ, amen? I look at sometimes, and I wonder sometimes, and I love these brothers, and that's okay. I love listening to their preaching, but I wonder sometimes if what they're trying to take us back is to just emotions, and repeating things and constantly, and that's That's fine, amen. But still, the word is what's going to give me a body change, right? Amen. Emotions, amen, they just come and go. Emotions just come and go, amen. You're going to feel tired on Monday after jumping and screaming and dancing on Sunday and doing praise breaks. Yeah, I mean, but amen, but the word, amen, carries you forward for good, for good. Amen, that intimacy with the word. I'm not downing, you know, shouting and screaming. That all has its place. But that is not the foundation of moving on with Christ. All right. So Brother Branham continues saying, I said, and well, I don't understand why in there, Brother Branham asked him. He said, why there? Because the angel just told him, he said, nobody will know anything about it. Nobody. The world does not know what's going on in a believer's life. Amen. A true, genuine believer, amen. If it's a true, genuine believer, not even people, even within our same ranks, know truly what's going on. Amen. If it's a true called born-again believer, amen. Amen. Because why? This is an individual walk. And I said, well, I don't understand. Why in there? Why there? He said, it will not be a public show this time. Amen. The Pentecost was a public show. It's not now. Right now is an experience between you and the mighty angel. Because who was in this room? It was the mighty angel, right? And I said, I don't understand going into that closet building like that. And so, of course, in Matthew 6:6, Jesus says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Amen. Amen. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Amen. So according to the prophet, the third pull is the opening of the word personally to you. Amen. Amen. He says in the message, the anointed times and the anointed ones at the end time, he says, notice the very day when this messenger, not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare the message. Yeah. See, the first pull, healing, second pull, prophesying, third pull, the opening of the word, the mysteries revealed. No more, there is no more higher order to reveal the word than prophets. But the only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the word. Yeah. And remember, the third pull was the opening of them seven seals. Amen. To reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the word. Amen? Amen. So that is what we are seeking after. We're seeking after the revelation, those thunders, amen? Amen? That are the mysteries contained in the seven seals. Amen. Right? Screaming, jumping, shouting, and all those things, that's good. And I love it myself. Yeah. Amen. But afterwards, amen, I after the dust settles, I want the opening of the word to me personally. And I want that screaming and shouting and all that to take me closer to Christ. Amen. Amen. And it's not just an emotional workup for the moment. Right? Amen. Because when they came out of the upper room, they were speaking in tongues, and really what they were speaking was languages. Yeah, right. Exactly. They weren't blabbling, and they weren't making, you know, and those things like that. That's not what they were doing. No. All right? Amen. And they were not just reciting Bible verses either. As some people who say, oh, he's prophesying, thus saith the Lord, and then they just recite Bible verses. That's not prophecy. That's already in the scriptures. Right? But see, people want to take us to those things. And if you, like I said, if you don't have discernment, you'll fall for it. You will fall for it. But that's not what it is. They came out speaking, and what, the 3,000 understood what they were saying. Because it caused them to say, what does this mean? I mean, what should we do? What is the next step that I should do? If they didn't understand what they were hearing, then they wouldn't have asked that. But they understood, and Peter told them, "Repent, be baptized," and there are 3,000 souls added to the body that day. All right. Okay, so here in verse 4, and I know I'm just going everywhere, but you forgive me. Now, so in verse 9 or verse 8, and it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. They had to make sure that they were whole before they continued taking the city, the land. Amen. You can't go and take the land when you're sick spiritually.
No. Right, brother. Amen.
When you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't take the land. When you don't know, amen, where God has called you from and where he's taken you, you can't move on. You've got to know, amen. You've got to stay in there with Christ until you're whole. Amen. In that little room. Praise God. And the Lord said unto Joshua, verse 9. This is where I want to focus on. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day, amen. God is a present God. Amen. How many thank God that he is ever present in your time of trouble, in your time of need? Hallelujah. This day have I, Joshua didn't do it. Nobody else did it. Have I, he himself personally came in. Because it was he who was in that room with them, in that little closet, right? This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Amen. After they were circumcised, after receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so to speak, there is no more reproach on your life. And there some anybody, amen, would try to put reproach on you, amen. When you know where you have been, you know what experience you've had, you know the things that you encountered you yourselves, amen. Because if anybody would try to put those things, amen, on you, lay those things back on you, you know it's got to be nothing but the devil, amen? God didn't call us, amen, to walk with him so that he could condemn us. No, he walked us to us to be free, for us to enjoy his grace, for us to enjoy his mercy, for us to enjoy the benefits that he has, the benefits of the land, right? Praise God. And so why do we want to go back to Egypt? See, the reason why God was rolling away a reproach is because they were slaves. They had a slave mentality. All their lives, all their 40 years that they were crossing the wilderness, they had a slave mentality upon their mind. I mean, even the calf that they built, the golden calf, a calf represents a slave animal. Even that represented their mentality. So they had this mentality of burning, and we're still, Egypt was way far away from them now, but they still had that burden upon them. But God right here in verse 9 was trying to take that. He said, I am taking away that reproach, that stain that Egypt left you. Amen. So that you can go take the land. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And you know what and it happened there in Gilgal. In Gilgal, if you look at what the word Gilgal means, it means to roll away. Right? Because notice the way he says it here. I'm going to bring it up right here. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 9. It says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach. Amen. If you roll something, amen, it means it was heavy. Amen. It means that it was something heavy. It wasn't just something light. It was something that was burdening you. It was something that was causing you trouble. It was something that was really hindering you. Amen. But by the grace of God, amen. By the great God has brought you to this perfect grace, saints. And he's rolled that burden away from your life. Amen. Oh my, it was the Lord Jesus Christ when he went to Lazarus, amen. He said, roll away that thing that's getting in the way of Lazarus coming out, amen.
Amen.
Praise God, because I don't know how big the tomb was. Maybe it was a small tomb. But if Lazarus would have raised in there, he might not have room to take off the bandages. He said, but roll away that thing, that mentality that is keeping from Lazarus coming out. Then he could come out and say, now go ahead and loose him. Loose him. And hallelujah. Then you could be loose. Then you can be free. Do not go think back on how things were, because if you have the Holy Ghost and God's given you, shown you grace, amen, then God's rolled away that burden from Egypt. And he did it a long time ago. Amen. So he was removing that heavy burden. Amen. The shame of Egypt, it points to everything Egypt had left on them, including their identity as slaves. Amen. You're not identified now with Egypt anymore. He continues saying, "This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day." Amen. Aren't you thankful, amen, that God has rolled away all our shame? Amen. All our old identity is under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. To be remembered no more. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because how can we serve God when we still have our old identity? Maybe we don't dress like Egypt anymore. Maybe we don't talk like Egypt anymore. But it's just as bad still having the mindset of Egypt, the thoughts of Egypt, right? Egypt, Egypt, and you just keep hearing the cracking of the whip. You did it. You can't move on with God. You can't move on. Amen. But remember the book of Joshua is a book of redemption. And it types Ephesians. Verse 10. I'm moving a little quicker now. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. Now, why did they do this? Why did the children of Israel kept the Passover? Well, if you go back and read, the children of Israel, they only had celebrated Passover one time when they were getting ready to come out of Exodus. There was another time that they celebrated it, but it had been already 40 years almost. 40 years that they had not celebrated Passover. And it was because they were not circumcised. Because if you read in Exodus chapter 12, verse 43 to 49, the Lord told them that you can't take Passover until you're circumcised. Amen. You cannot partake on the Lord's table if you have not been circumcised. Spiritually, right? So the entire wilderness generation, they couldn't keep it. This generation could not keep it because they were not circumcised. Amen? They were not circumcised. But now that's been taken care of. So now in verse 10, they happily take Passover. Amen? The eating of the lamb. It's a transition period. From now, from just eating manna and just eating food that's been provided, now we're starting to eat some solid food now. The lamb, amen, which represents Christ. Hallelujah, amen. In verse 11, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. Hallelujah. Amen. Of course, we know that the corn, amen, represents, amen, the new life, amen, the word that's now that you eat after the circumcision, amen, after you have experienced that life with Christ, amen. You can't eat off the old denominational things anymore. You can't eat off the old manna anymore. It just doesn't fulfill you. It just doesn't satisfy you. You know, sometimes you listen to a nominal preacher preaching and you're like, well, that was good, but there's still something there that I'm just not getting. You know, it's just not the same. You know, sometimes we've even visited some message churches and you know, you understand, you know, that people can only preach at the level that they're at, right? But you leave sometimes and you're like, I know there was more there, right? But they can't jump higher than their pastor, so you have to give them grace, right? Because God's given us grace. But now we are able to partake of the old corn of the land. Everything that's grown in Canaan, now we can partake of. Amen. And there's no excuse in this hour. Amen. To go hungry. Praise the Lord. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, and unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna, watch verse 12, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten Amen. Of the old corn of the land. Amen. They had the teeth to eat it, spiritual teeth to eat it. Right. Amen. So no more manna. Amen. God was, it's now time to fight. It's now time to live off the life of the food that you eat. Amen. Amen. Spiritually. Amen. What you eat, amen, is what you become. Amen. So it's now time to live off of that life. Amen. Praise God. Because it's time for us to, because now they're getting ready to fight. Yes. Now the battles are getting ready to come. Amen. Right? Yep. And that's the hard part. Amen. Because maybe eating off the manna and eating off the angel food wasn't going to be enough for them to be able to take over Jericho. That's right. That's right. It was enough for the wilderness journey, Amen. But it wasn't enough to go take the land. Amen. Now it's time Amen. To take the land, saints. Yes. Amen. This thing now, amen, has transitioned. Amen. It's not just about God sent a prophet now. It's not just about, I'll dance in the spirit, shake the pastor's hands or speak in tongues or feel a little emotion and that's it. No, now it's time for you to recognize your position in the word. Where is God calling me to? Amen. Because God's given me a destiny and I must go fulfill that. But the only way to fulfill that is for you to eat off this corn. Amen. Off this corn. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Or this food. Yes. Amen. And it's hard sometimes. Yep. It's hard. But it's needful. You want a body change? Yes, right. You want to see the dead raised? Amen. You better eat off Amen. The cold corn. Yes. Amen. Amen. But I'm just waiting for the pastor to give it all to me. That's manna. Yep. That's easy. You let the pastor study and just give you everything. That's easy. You're going to die. Yes, amen. You're going to die like the first generation of the Israelites. You're going to die. But the second generation that God showed so much grace to. Amen. Grace. Amen. Amen. Why is it crying out with grace, grace? The capstone's crying out, grace, grace, unto it. Amen. Amen. When you're shown grace, you want to give out grace. Amen. Praise God. And this is grace, amen. This grace will take us through. Yes, this grace will cause us, amen, to see my position in the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Now, I know we speak a lot on these things with regards to our position in the word, but what does that exactly mean? It means just be God wherever you are now. Right. Wherever you are now, where God has called you now, that's where you need to be God. No, but I think I can serve him. The grass is greener on the other side. That's what a lot of people think. But that may not be the case. Sometimes we think that there's a better church for us somewhere else. Well, there's a better group, and you know, and that the grass is better, and everything is better somewhere else. Amen. And you're neglecting, amen, where God has brought you from. And where you are now. Amen. And it was the grace of God that brought you there. Yes. Oh, but they speak in tongues over there. And they shout. And they got the sisters all running up in front of the church. All in front, you know, everybody. And they're bobby pins flying everywhere. Oh, you know the Spirit of God is there. It may be, but I don't know if those sisters really served the Lord on Monday. That's right. Amen. True, you don't know. You're just going through emotions. I don't know that. It's not for me to judge that. But that is not the foundation of my walk in Christ. That is not what I depend on. It, for me to feel a little, you know, what is it? Shivers down my back or anything like that. I can't depend on that. Because those things can be copied. There are genuine shivers. And there are genuine jumpings and shoutings. And there are genuine tongues. Yes. And there are genuine, but we put it all on tongues and we forget that that's the lowest of the gifts. Right. One of the greatest ones are wisdom and knowledge. Right. Those are greater. Yes. And that's what people are lacking. Amen. Discernment. Amen. But they and so those things, there was a point that I was getting to with that, but those things, amen, those things only last for a while.
That's right. Yes.
Amen. They're temporary.
Yes.
Babies do that.
Yep. Right. Right.
Babies, you know, babies squirm and scream and shout and cry because they have a need,
yep.
And that's the only way they know how to do it, right?
Amen.
That's genuine, right?
Yes.
That's genuine. But as they're feeding and they're growing, they can't continue screaming and shouting and no, now they're speaking now. Now they're talking.
Yeah.
Mama, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
You got some Lucky Charms around here? Or whatever, Cocoa Puffs. I like Cocoa Pebbles. You know, and then they start growing up, and then now they're asking for food. They're still asking for food, but now there's more maturity about it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
There's not that jumping, oh, I got to feel something.
Yeah.
Or cry about it. Ah!
No.
Why cry? Speak.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And so see, what I meant to say earlier is when they came out of the upper room and they were doing those things, and they were, amen. There, it was because the there were babies in Christ, right? When there's a lack of the word there, then you do that, right? That's why young people need that. Sometimes we criticize when they go to youth camps and they get into these frenzies. And I think about it in the way of they're just babies. They need this in order to get to the better things. Right? Right? So, again, if that's how God works with you, that's great. That's your emotional makeup, and that's fine. Right? But you can't tell me that I need to dance and shout and scream and speak in tongues in order for me to have an experience with God. That's not anywhere in the Word. But yet, be careful, because some people are trying to take us back to that. Because what people don't understand in the Word, they'll just tack it on things like that. When they don't understand the Word, and they can't explain, you know, God's given us this open book, a seventh seal, right? Then they try to take us back to Egypt, back to bondage. And whenever there's bondage, and whenever there's Egypt, then what happens after that? It becomes idolatry.
Right. Amen.
There's churches that we know of that were under bondage,
sure,
under legalism.
Yes.
And what did they end up becoming? Idolatry. And they're tore up now.
Right.
So you be careful. This thing is a secret thing. Why did God tell Brother Branham, amen, in the hour that we're living in, this is between just you and the angel.
Yeah. Amen.
Just you and the angel.
Amen.
I mean, sure, we're going to have emotions. We're going to, there are going to be things that are going to happen, but ultimately, it's got to be you in Christ. Got to be you and Joshua,
amen,
in that tent.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise
amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
And last verse, and I'm finishing. Let some musicians come up. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore.
Amen. Didn't go back.
Anymore. They had no manna anymore. But that was God's food. Yes, it was God's food, and it worked for a time. It was good for a season, but God is turning the corner now.
Yes.
God's turning the corner now. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan,
yes,
that year.
Yes. Yes.
And when you receive the full word and you're eating the old corn, then who steps in and fights your battles?
Amen.
The mighty angel comes in. Because it says in verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn.
Yes.
What did Christ have, amen, open in Revelations 10:1?
Yeah,
an open book. A sword drawn.
Yeah, amen.
It was ready to go.
Yes.
He's fighting your battles if you've done what is required. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Now he's come. Amen. Now the angel, now that the redemption has taken place now in Revelation chapter 5.
Yep.
Redemption for these children of Israel has happened now. Right? Now the captain of the Lord can come. Amen. Let him come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Right? In other words, take the little book. Amen. He's going to give him the word. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. In other words, he gave him something to do.
Amen.
Like in Revelation 10:11. Amen. Thou must prophesy again.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We don't just stand around with our arms crossed. And, you know, we got something to do. Because
yes.
Now it's time to take the land.
Amen.
Now it's time to get to a body change.
Amen.
Now it's time to fulfill that no one else has fulfilled. Amen. Thessalonians has spoken of.
Yes.
Amen. That we must go and fulfill that.
Yes.
Because the captain of the Lord said so.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
It's time to take the land, saints.
Yes.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet.
Yes.
Grace in the hour. Grace has removed the reproach off your life.
Amen.
Do not go back.
No.
Or let anybody put you back.
No.
And say that you must fulfill something in order for you to keep walking with Christ. The captain of the Lord's told me different.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That burden has been rolled away.
Amen.
What was heavy, now is no more.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Maybe we'd sing that same song again, brother. Or unless you had something else. But that same Canaan song that you sang.
Yeah.
Glory, hallelujah. Amen.
I have left the land of bondage with its earthly treasure. I've journeyed to a place where there is love on every hand. I've exchanged a land of heartaches for a land of pleasure. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan.
Found the land of promise.
safe at home where I shall not grow weary. I'm camping.
We can rejoice where we're standing. Amen. Praise God. I appreciate that, Brother Luis. That was good tonight. Amen. That bondage has left us. We've been free from that. Praise God. Amen. Well, before we go this evening, do you have anything, Brother? We're going to turn over to Brother Wade. Yes.
Well, let's give our brother a good hand. That was good. That was good. He can go to Ohio next time if he'd come back and bring a sermon like that. But he's got to come back.
Amen.
Yeah, they can't keep him. So, but that was really good. We sure appreciate that. Now, coming up this Sunday, all right, we're going to have regular church service Sunday. All right.
Amen.
If you have a Sunday school class and you need to do your gift exchange at the Sunday school class that morning, Sunday morning, okay? I think Sister Rachel and some of them are doing a Christmas song and stuff, but it's not going to be this Sunday. It'll be the next Sunday, right? The next Sunday, all right? And then so that way this Sunday we'll flow right through, have the preaching, and then we won't have communion until the next Sunday, and then we'll leave here and go down to Hidden Acres. The address is on the website. And it's where we've always had it the past 5 or 6 years. It'll be catered meal. Don't have to bring anything but yourself and a hungry belly.
Amen.
And then you'll be also, remember, when we leave Sunday from the service, you'll be given a gift back in the back. Brother Terrence will be handing those out like we always do. So we appreciate you. Love you with the love of the Lord. We thank you for the support from all the years that we've been here. And like Brother Luis said, You do look at a lot of places, and we're just blessed.
Amen.
But it's by grace.
Yes.
It's not anybody to boast. It's by grace.
That's right.
Are we saved through faith?
Yes.
And not that of what works. Shouting, speaking in tongues, that's fine. But remember, signs follow the believer. Amen. You got to become a believer first.
That's right.
Amen. And then the signs will follow you after that.
Amen.
All right. Right. And it will flow through you after that.
That's right.
Amen. So remember that this coming Sunday. Then next Sunday, you're preaching next Wednesday night. And then Brother Manuel is speaking the Wednesday night after that. So we'll get all that set up. There will be no service on the Wednesday, Christmas Eve. All right. But now the next week on that Wednesday night, it'll be watch night service. So just keep that in prayer. And Brother Scott Smith will be here, but also Brother Chris Long will be here the Sunday before that. And we're looking to have a good time in the Lord.
Amen.
But remember that coming up this Sunday, we'll have regular service. Give your gifts here. We will have gifts for you down there at the barn. And the silver dollars and all that we give out will be given out down there. So just like we've always done every Christmas for years. So we appreciate all of you. We love you with the love of the Lord. And we sure do appreciate Brother Luis and these ministers, Brother Aaron. We thank God that God's give us a good stable of horses to be able to use. And Brother Manuel done come in on the flip side of all this and come in at the back, and he's just growing like you wouldn't believe. So
Amen.
We sure appreciate that. And thank God he was in there to interpret tonight. We appreciate that. And hey, listen, don't raise your hand if you don't want to do something.
Amen.
And then you might get voluntold if you don't even raise your hand.
Amen.
Amen? Okay. But that's just the way the Lord works. He puts people in place. Some believe. Some just comes right into place. So that's the way God works. And we appreciate that. So let's sing one more song and then we'll be dismissed. Just whatever you got on your heart. What was you going to sing?
What a fellowship.
Why?